It's Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Pregnancy is a taxing time on a woman's body. The cliche is that during those 9 months, you're doing everything for two, eating, sleeping, and exercising.
And if you're used to doing all of those things for one, understanding what's best for you and your baby can be a daunting task. Megan Szymanski is a local fitness team leader and is pre- and postnatal fitness certified by the American Council of Exercise. For our latest Fit for You segment, she joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and explains why the old cliche might not be exactly true.
I think one of the main misconceptions is the whole eating for two. So yes, you are pregnant. You are growing something in you, which is a miracle in itself. However, the first trimester of pregnancy, you actually shouldn't even be increasing your caloric intake by all that much. So you want to follow how you feel, of course. If you have morning sickness, you might be eating more carb-based type foods. If you're hungry, absolutely, by all means, eat. But that mentality of eating for two is going to put you in a spot that you would probably not prefer to be in 9 months from now. Into the second and third trimester, you do tend to increase caloric intake by about 300 calories per day, which, to put that in perspective, is, you know, two pieces of toast with some peanut butter on it.
So not an extra milkshake.
Absolutely not. Here and there is okay, but not on a daily basis.
True. So approach food as you would every day.
Yep.
With occasional treats for yourself.
And I've actually found that women tend to, in fact, eat healthier during pregnancy because they are more conscious and aware than before they got pregnant as well.
Okay. And when it comes to exercising, what is the general rule of thumb concerning exercise during pregnancy?
So the golden rule or the rule of thumb would be not to do anything that you didn't do before you got pregnant. So if you were a runner before you got pregnant, you can continue doing your running. You know, listening to your body is the most important thing. Your body will tell you when it's too much, when you shouldn't be doing it anymore, when it starts getting uncomfortable, or it'll give you symptomatic signs that this is no longer okay. If you were lifting weights before, continue lifting weights. So you don't want to progress and try to grow your fitness levels at that point, but you should really just try to maintain where you're at for as long as possible, as long as the body allows in terms of comfort.
So what if you're someone who has never really exercised a whole lot before you got pregnant, but now that you're pregnant, you want to start exercising again? And as you mentioned, you don't want to go over your limit, but as someone who's starting from the beginning, what's a healthy way to approach this?
I would talk to a fitness professional. I absolutely would encourage you to get clearance from your OB right off the bat, whether you're a beginner or not a beginner. That's very important to do, as they know, you know, what your guidelines should be and can coach you with that specifically. Walking is a great place to start. It's low impact. Walking, biking, getting in the pool, because that does help with kind of that added weight that you're going to be gaining. The pool will make it seem like it's not as hard as it is, or kind of release that extra weight from you. Also, body weight exercises are great. You know, fitness balls, BOSU balls, TRX straps are outstanding. You can purchase a TRX strap for your own home, or your local gym most likely has them. But all body weight type exercises where you're using your body weight as the resistance.
Not adding additional strain.
Right. Yep.
Right. So what are some safe basic guidelines women can follow when it comes to frequency and level of intensity? When people think of fitness during pregnancy, for example, like you said, running before, you know, many people think, oh, it's just jostling around inside and that can't be good for it. But what kind of levels are acceptable to go to without breaking that barrier where it's going to be harmful to either the mother or the baby?
Yep. So there's a couple different indicators you can use in terms of how hard should you work. So the ACOG is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. They actually created guidelines in 1985 that they still use today. So depending on who your physician is, you might be getting guidelines that were set 20, 30 plus years ago. Those guidelines say that your heart rate should not go over 140 beats per minute. With that being said, 140 beats per minute is a different intensity for any woman. So based on your age, based on your pre-pregnancy fitness levels, 140 beats per minute could be 80% of max heart rate for one female and could be 60% max heart rate for another female. So those guidelines, 140 beats per minute, is just kind of like that cautionary number. If you go over that, you're not going to hurt yourself. You're not going to hurt the baby. It's that yellow warning signal that you should just slow down and back off and recover a little bit longer. I prefer to use perceived exertion. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard are you working right now? Typically in the first trimester, if I asked you how hard are you working, you should be at about a number of 6 to 7 on that scale. Second trimester is going to be about a 5. Third trimester is going to be about a 3. So frequency will also change throughout pregnancy. Typically, earlier in pregnancy, you're going to be exercising 4 to 5 times a week. A little later in pregnancy, 3 to 4 times a week. And again, that just depends on how you feel. If you have a really rough trimester, you know, you might only exercise once or twice that week just because you really don't feel up to it and you're down and out.
And with the way women's bodies are changing and how you're feeling and also physically to prepare for the baby and the delivery, what are some key muscle groups that women should strengthen in order to benefit them during the pregnancy, but also most importantly, during delivery?
Core training is absolutely by far the most important thing to focus on during pregnancy. I know it can be scary because you don't want to think about doing a sit-up when you have a baby in you. So that tends to be the thing that women shy away from the most, but that's actually the most important. So there is a very safe way to do core training. Any type of sit-up, any type of seated leg raise is okay. If you're past the first trimester, just don't lie flat on your back. Just make sure you're doing it at an incline. Planking throughout the entire pregnancy is great. Something to stay away from would be twisting motions. So aside from core training, the other thing that I really focus on is posture, upper and lower back. So as your body begins to develop and change, you're going to become very front heavy. As the breasts increase, the belly increases, all that weight goes to the front. So the stronger the back can be, the better you're going to be able to hold your shoulders back, which will help with posture and decrease back pain over time.
And what are the benefits of exercising while pregnant, not only for the body physically, but for the mother's mind and then delivery come later?
Yep. So, you know, we have such a challenge with body image as is in this society. So it's very difficult, whether you are fit before you're pregnant or not, to kind of see those changes, accept those changes, and know why they are happening. Positive reinforcement is great in terms of daily activity, and it doesn't need to be intense. I feel like it really just truly helps with confidence building and knowing that you're strong. You know, going through a labor delivery, you need endurance to do that. And the stronger you are physically, the stronger you are mentally, and vice versa.
Now, when it comes to exercising and fueling our body, we all need proper nutrition. But pregnant women also need to keep in mind extra nutrition, all the supplements they need to take, because they are supplying sources for their body and also the body growing inside them. So as you mentioned, the cliche eating for two is not really true. It does not apply. What should women be eating during pregnancy and how much?
It's a great question. Initially, again, you don't need to increase your caloric intake all that much. By all means, if you are hungry, do eat, because your body's telling you that you need those extra calories. Later on in the pregnancy, about second and third trimester, you're going to increase by about additional 300 calories per day. Something to be more aware of would be more organic type foods. So knowing what's going into your mouth, more importantly, the quality of food and what type of nutrients are coming from that food. So there is a list, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. The Clean 15 are going to be fruits and vegetables that you don't really have to worry about being organic because they are covered in skin, or that skin comes off, or the way that they're grown, they have more of a safer approach. That Dirty Dozen is going to be the 12 fruits and vegetables that you really want to focus on eating organically for the safety of yourself and for your baby. Small levels of caffeine are very safe for you. The recommendation is not to go over 2 milligrams of caffeine per day, which is about a 12-ounce cup of coffee. So you just don't want to overdo it. What it does, it increases your blood pressure. It increases your heart rate, which in turn does the same thing for your baby. In terms of different vitamins, so most prenatal vitamins now have added DHA and folic acid. When you look for a prenatal vitamin, your doctor will recommend that it has that in there as well. That's going to help with brain, spine, and eye development.
And what foods should pregnant women avoid?
There is a lot, kind of, but not kind of.
Well, let's say dangerous foods, I should say.
Yes.
You know, instead of avoid the temptation of
right.
eating an extra gallon
right.
of ice cream.
Yes.
What else should they be avoiding besides leaning towards more organic
yeah.
or healthy foods?
Yep. You want to avoid anything that's unpasteurized. Different soft cheeses like brie, feta, and queso should not be consumed. Hard cheeses are totally fine to eat. any raw cookie dough or cake batter, just because the eggs in it are not cooked and you have the chance for salmonella then at that point. Fish, you just want limited amounts of fish. The concern there is going to be your mercury intake. And then sushi and shellfish, you want to avoid altogether just because they are raw. Lunch meats should be avoided for the most part. If you heat them to about 165 degrees, they should be safe. I recommend staying away from them completely because there's a lot of nitrates in lunch meats, and that's one of the concerns aside from what lunch meats can carry, you know, in terms of like a salmonella or an E. coli. Those nitrates you want to keep out of your diet altogether, as well as artificial sweeteners. You know, if you're used to drinking diet soda or G2, go to those full sugar alternatives. We just don't know at this point what artificial sweeteners do. We don't have long enough studies to see how it affects us long term. So the more natural, the better, even if it is sugar.
Right. And when it comes to meats and food prep, basically when you can do the process yourself.
Yes. Yep.
That's the best option.
Absolutely.
Now, with women's bodies changing, they may not know the proper warning signs when it comes to, am I overdoing it or am I just feeling unwell because I'm pregnant? So what are some signals that women should pay attention to when it comes to, should I pull back on what I'm doing and the intensity of the exercises?
Different cautions and warning signals you should look for when exercising, that you should either specifically terminate exercise as well as call your OBGYN, would be any type of vaginal bleeding. Typically, you know, there's something more going on if you do notice that. An elevated heart rate prior to exercise. So your heart rate will elevate that much faster during exercise. However, if you notice that your heart rate is that much higher before you even begin, do not start exercising. Any dizziness, headaches, chest pain, muscle weakness, calf pain, or swelling could indicate blood clots. The other thing to really be cautious of, or to pay attention to, I guess you should say, is the fetal movement post-exercise. So once you can start feeling your baby kicking and punching and moving around and doing somersaults in you, please make sure that you can feel your baby move at least 1 to 2 hours after you are done exercising. I always, you know, as a fitness professional, ask my clients to make sure that they are still noticing that. If they're not noticing that movement and that movement was pretty consistent, that's something they should look into. If they're not feeling the movement, they can also eat something or drink some cold water. If the baby's sleeping, that should wake it up, get them moving, you know, before they kind of go into freak out mode.
Yeah, that's a good tip. I'm sure not a lot of people think about that.
Yeah.
So what is the proper exercise intensity that these pregnant women should be doing, and what kind of exercises should they avoid?
In terms of intensity, I recommend that you don't do high-intensity exercise 2 days in a row. So if you're doing high-intensity exercise previous to getting pregnant and you are safe and cleared to do that now, at least give yourself a day of rest. Moderate exercise, which I consider walking at 3 to 4 miles per hour, is safe to do on a daily basis. In terms of exercises to avoid, I recommend using common sense. So anything that's high risk that could cause you to fall, you don't want to land on your stomach at all, you don't want to involve a high degree of balance or agility, are not recommended.
And then fast forward 9 months or so later, after you've had the baby, when can women return to an exercise regimen?
Don't worry about exercise until 4 to 6 weeks after giving birth. So allowing enough time for your body to heal, but then also really devoting those weeks to spending time with your baby, not feeling guilty about not exercising. You know, your priorities during that time are bonding with the baby, sleeping, healing, breastfeeding. Your priorities change, so not placing too much stress on yourself.
And what should women keep in mind as they think about getting their old body back? To be realistic, because our bodies change a whole lot during pregnancy, and then after the baby is born and you're left with, you know, extra weight, other things, you're feeling a certain way, you know, what should women just keep in mind?
Keep in mind it took you 9 months to get there. It'll take you a minimum of 9 months to get back, if not longer. So it's not a quick fix. It's not what you see in magazines. You know, it's a long process. So, and you have less time, you're sleeping less, you know, it's not as much of a priority as it may have been before. So those 9 to 12 months, it's going to be a slow process.
So just try and keep a of small accomplishments one day at a time.
Yep, like, one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Try to be patient. Try and keep the focus on where your priority is while still taking care of yourself. So mentally and physically, fitting exercise back into a daily routine is very important for you without stressing yourself out over it.
Right. Now, we've gone through a little bit of pre-pregnancy and then after the delivery. But what key message do you want to share with women who are expecting or have already given birth and are trying to stay healthy and active?
I like to look at these five affirmations. Different affirmations apply to at different times, either pre or postnatal. I think it's great to have affirmations that you do repeat because the more you say it, the more you believe it. So number one would be, my baby is healthy, beautiful, and strong. I think it's important to know that while you're going through the process as well, to trust that everything's going to be okay, because that is that fear of the unknown and what could happen. And just knowing that you're doing everything you can in your willpower to have that healthy baby. Number two, I honor my body exactly as it is. So it's changing. It's producing a miracle. There's a reason why you are gaining weight or why you can't fit into those jeans anymore. And just remember what that reason is. So honor your body where it is, how it looks, and how it feels. Number three, I only allow positive energy in my life and in my home. Number four would be, my connection to my baby grows stronger every day. It is such a cool connection to have, and until you go through it, you can't really explain it. And then number five is, I will have a blissful, effortless birth filled with joy, laughter, and love. So those five affirmations I like to share, and again, each of them will apply at different times throughout your pregnancy. And when you're feeling some of these things, just repeat that to yourself and remind yourself of those things.
Well, these are great tools and information to keep in mind for women who are expecting or just thinking about it. So thanks so much for coming in and sharing this info.
Thank you for having me.
Megan Szymanski is a local fitness team leader and is pre- and postnatal fitness certified by the American Council of Exercise. She spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and you can find our previous Fit for You segments at WUWM.com.